WZEZ H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A deadly shooting in the cafeteria of Nashville's Antioch High School today. Police say the shooter was 17. He shot two students, one died, and then he shot and killed himself, a student.
We got to fifth period, and then all of a sudden we was hearing, oh, it's a shooting. And then everybody was just panicking and everything.
No word on a motive. More Southern California fire danger. ABC's Alex Stone in Los Angeles.
A new fire of concern that's growing rapidly is a Hughes fire, which is exploding in red flag fire conditions, pushing toward the town of Castaic, which is in northern LA County near Santa Clarita. There's a huge plume of smoke with flames chewing through the Angeles National Forest. There are some evacuations in place, and schools in the area are bringing children indoors because of the smoke.
The Pentagon will send as many as 1,500 more troops to help secure the southern border, say U.S. officials. Big winter storm has hit the Florida Panhandle, Georgia, and the Eastern Carolinas. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has announced it will pause hiring and out-of-state travel amid budget constraints. In a memo sent to staff on Friday, the agency announced it would freeze hiring for all jobs except two critical positions through the end of June. They also announced a pause on out-of-state travel and that it would consider voluntary reductions in paid working hours if requested by individual employees. Officials cited a $2.3 million reduction in state funding as a major factor in the decision to reduce spending. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Cole have announced the state will join a coalition of other states challenging the attempts to end birthright citizenship. According to a press release, Governor Evers, Attorney General Cole, and the other state leaders joining the challenge say the executive order issued by President Donald Trump is unconstitutional and violates the 14th Amendment. Wisconsin joined 19 other states in filing a lawsuit to invalidate the executive order in the U.S. District Court for the District of Massachusetts. A Duluth paper plant has received nearly $2.4 million in state funding to help clean up contaminants at the facility. The Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development announced the grant funding earlier this week, which is meant to offset the cost of contaminant cleanup by up to 75%. Officials from the Sofidel paper say they're planning a huge expansion to double the size of the facility, but needed to clean those contaminants first. The $200 million expansion would include new warehouses and a converting facility. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation have announced $150,000 in grant funding for road projects in Bayfield County. According to a press release, the funding will be used to support construction on Argenbright Road and provide full access to the undeveloped Bayfield County Business Park. The new construction on Argenbright Road will create a 2,100-foot section to connect State Farm Road to State Highway 137 with storm drainage and access points to the business park. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks game called off due to weather. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks game tonight against the Pelicans has been called off due to the winter weather in New Orleans. The city hit in some areas with up to a foot of snow, making travel for fans in Louisiana treacherous. So the Bucks are returning to Milwaukee. They'll host the Miami Heat at 6:30 tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum. And the NBA says the game against the Pelicans will be rescheduled at a later date. College basketball. Badgers returning after losing at UCLA 85-83. Marquette with an easy win over Seton Hall, 76-59. NFL, the Chicago Bears introducing their new head coach, Ben Johnson, who has been the offensive coordinator of the Lions the past three seasons.
I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
That's the Bears' new head coach, Ben Johnson, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Hitting a major mark as we stay above zero today with mostly cloudy skies and light snow on and off throughout the afternoon. With very light accumulations, winds are still breezy, but they're out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, pushing our highs to near 20 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 19.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipowitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
Everybody, my name is Maggie Dawn. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just before the top of the hour, I shared with you some breaking news, devastating news coming out of Tennessee. There's a shooting, another school shooting at Antioch High School that has enrolled over 2,000 students in Nashville, Tennessee. Apparently, one student, a 17-year-old, one female student has died. Another is in stable condition. I do not have additional information at this time on the shooter or any other injuries. We'll keep you posted on that. And I just wanted to point this out. This school shooting in Antioch took place one day after Donald Trump shut down the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention. So, there's that. Because, you know, it's real partisan. It's a partisan question about whether or not we want more gun violence. Of course, that is perhaps a little little sarcasm in bad taste. We'll bring you more information as we have it about that shooting at Antioch High School in Nashville, Tennessee. Two people are now dead. Here's more information coming in. Two students are dead and another student injured. According to police, two students were shot by another in the cafeteria. The shooter then turned the gun on himself. One female student and the shooter are dead. Again, we'll continue to bring you updates as we have them. Now we're going to turn the page because I sure hope it sounds like change for the better, despite who may be occupying the White House. What can you do? What can we do to combat Donald Trump's anti-woman agenda? I'm really pleased to be joined by the Director of Strategic Communications for Emily's List. She's been a guest on the show before. Her name's Sarah Spain. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Sarah, thanks for making time.
Yeah, good to be back. Thanks for having me, Maggie.
Absolutely. It's the 52nd anniversary of Roe v. Wade today, Sarah. I spent my entire life having the right to control my body, and up until Donald Trump's illegitimate Supreme Court, you know, now I have fewer rights than I did the day I was born. Donald Trump also yesterday removed the first female commandant of the Coast Guard. It is an anti-woman agenda, plain and simple. How do we push back, Sarah? What candidates are Emily's List supporting that we should keep our eye on, especially in federal government, so that we can push back against all of this misogyny? I think it's not just an anti-woman agenda. I'm just going to call it what it is. It's misogyny and woman hate.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a tough week, tougher by the news that you just shared. I think that's absolutely devastating, and hearts go out to the family for that, families for that. It's been a tough week, a whirlwind, and it's actually, it hasn't even been a week. It's been a few days. It feels like forever. With the executive orders that Trump has put into place, with the, you know, rolling back DEI, making executive orders that are anti-trans. We've seen so much. It's hard to list. I think he has a record number of executive orders in a first day since the 30s, 1930s. And so it's been a lot. That said, I think we're commemorating the 52nd anniversary of Roe, and something that we've been going through at Emily's List is just the real work that the Democratic pro-choice women in office have done since the Dobbs decision. Right. We have seen it at every level of government. We've seen it at congressional. We've seen it at presidential from Vice President Harris when she was in office. We've seen it mayor, governors, state legislatures, that women, when they are in office, Democratic pro-choice women do protect abortion access. And so that's why we do the work that we do. It's why, as we look forward to a future where we want to see rights protected, where we want to see our democracy protected, that there need to be more Democratic pro-choice women in office. We have two women running for governor in 2025. We're really excited about them. We have Mikey Sherrill and Abigail Spanberger. Mikey is running in New Jersey and Abigail in Virginia. Both are battle tested. They got into this fight in 2018 after Trump and his administration, kind of with that anger and that big blue wave that we saw. And so they have this battle testing. They come from national security backgrounds. They're both very bipartisan in Congress. And so really excited about those candidates. And I think I would say keep an eye on those women. They are fighting for change, and we are going to need more Democratic pro-choice women at the governor level in the future.
Yeah, one of the things that I think is really interesting, and we're going to see, at least in my mind, we should continue to watch this space, because, and I will applaud and support the raised profile of, you know, certain women leaders in Congress. But the squad represents sort of a particular viewpoint along the political spectrum. What I think is notable about Ms. Sherrill and Ms. Spanberger is that they are sort of consensus building, pragmatic Democrats. And one of the things that I've always pushed back against myself is that all women candidates or all women electeds fall into this box, and this box gets placed on like the furthest left end of the political spectrum. When in reality, there are many women elected officials and many women that work within government and in politics that are far more consensus oriented, far more pragmatic than sort of the hype, if you will, would lead folks to believe. These two individuals stand out. Of course, Susan Crawford, as a jurist running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, stands out. What's your take on, and is Emily's List actively trying to raise the profile of Democratic women that are all along what I'm going to call the Democratic political spectrum? Because we are a big tent. There are lots of viewpoints.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of viewpoints. I also think we have this data that shows that when Democratic pro-choice women are in office, they are more bipartisan. They do get more stuff done. They get more bills passed. And so for us, we see that. And so we're trying to get more Democratic pro-choice women in office. And you mentioned Susan Crawford, Judge Susan Crawford. We're really excited about her. She's right in your home state of Wisconsin, running for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. It's our second Wisconsin State Supreme Court race that we're getting involved in. Our first one was actually Emily's List's first ever state Supreme Court case or state Supreme Court election that we ever got involved in. And so really excited about her. She brings a lot of experience as a prosecutor. She brings experience as a county judge. And so I think as we look towards the future, as we talk about Trump and the Republicans, we know that they're going to try to ban abortion every way possible, no matter what they say. And something that Republicans have been doing is really trying to ban abortion at the court level. It allows them to sidestep the will of the American people. And so to build this power in these state Supreme Courts is really important moving forward.
Yeah, and I think, again, representation matters, one in and of itself. But your point that by almost any metric, women elected officials are more effective just in terms in bipartisanship and getting bills passed in their approach to legislating, merits noting, right? As we go through what is guaranteed to be a very troubling but tumultuous time, to look to those among us that you may know in your communities and on a larger scale that do legitimately seek to find common points of values and do seek to move forward the things that the vast majority of us agree about, including, of course, reproductive choice. I just wanted to extend to you, Sarah, and everyone at Emily's List, given the passing of Cecile Richards yesterday and this anniversary, my thanks and appreciation and frankly condolences to everybody at Emily's List who's worked so hard. I know it was, when I read of her passing, I knew she was ill. It was a lot this week in particular, but I think it reminds us of the stakes and the importance of, again, electing women that will drive policies forward that the vast majority of us agree about and will elevate issues that we know are critical to every middle class and working family. Childcare, housing issues, right? Making sure that every kid has a full belly in school. These are things I see Democratic female candidates really elevating across the nation and are so critical, again, for the middle class to do better.
Fully agree.
Yeah, it's go ahead, Sarah, sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, I fully agree. And I think just in terms of Cecile Richards, I think it's devastating news. And she was a ground shaker and a mover, and she was always getting things done. And I think it's a reminder that in this moment, when it feels like maybe there's not a lot of hope, it's hard watching the Republican administration move on these issues that we've fought so hard about and so hard for. It's a reminder to continue moving forward, and that this is a fight for our generation that we need to continue fighting for.
Having grown up with reproductive freedom, right, and having that stripped away, I think pulls into sharper focus for me and for women across the political spectrum, not just Democratic women, that we are indeed in an existential generational battle right now. We've only seen the tip of the iceberg with Donald Trump's misogyny agenda, his anti-woman agenda. And it's going to take women across the political spectrum who have these places of agreement that understand what's actually important to middle-class families and women, to make sure that we know exactly what is going on. If you can speak to Wisconsinites a bit when we come back, Sarah, and identify for them, hey, how to get involved, how to find out about more these candidates, this race here in Wisconsin for the Supreme Court, but also these other critical races that Emily's List is involved in, because I want to be sure that every single listener here, whether you're a woman or a man, or, you know, somebody that loves a woman or has a sister or a mother, which is everybody, knows how to get involved and stay involved. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. We're talking with Sarah Spain of Emily's List about what we can do to push Trump back on the Trump misogyny agenda that he's clearly been rolling out this past week. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll have more in just a moment. So lonely, Mr. Lonely, I have nobody to call my own. Been all over the world, ain't never met a girl that could take the things that you've been through.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay. IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
IZERVAY or Avacin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it? I mean,
things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Just give me the lights. Just give me the lights. Just give me the lights and start the show. What's another buckle of more? Yeah, let me know my sides and I got to know which one is gonna catch my flow, cause I'm in the vibes and I got my dough.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Maggie Dawn. I am joined every Wednesday at 3 p.m. by fantastic guests from Emily's List who support Democratic pro-choice female candidates for elected office. Today, we've got their director of strategic communications, Sarah Spain, with me. Welcome back to the show, Sarah. Before we went to break, I was asking you about how can Wisconsinites get engaged, stay informed about what's going on, not just in our Supreme Court race, but nationwide, so that folks, if they are so inclined, can find these points of value alignment and push back on Donald Trump's misogyny agenda.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one, stay on top of the news. It's a busy news cycle. I think it's really easy to clock out. I frankly forgot how fast it moved and have been thrown right back into it. So things move really quickly. And I think it's hard to, it's easy to check out and hard to kind of stay integrated in it. And I would recommend continuing to follow along. It's really important we know what's happening with our rights, with our futures. And so to follow along and stay in that news cycle and take the time you need to, you know, have those breaks, but to follow along. So I would recommend that. I also would say Emily's List are on our socials. It's Emily's underscore list on Instagram. Is always posting our Democratic pro-choice candidates that are making a difference, but also women that are currently in office and what they're doing to make a difference in moments like these. It's not always going to be policy. Sometimes it will be. But when we have a Republican trifecta at the federal level, it's also calling out what is going on and the extremism and the attempts to kind of dismantle our democracy and our rights. And so making sure follow along on Emily's List socials, we'll be sharing all of that information as well. There will be opportunities to get involved. We have incredible candidates that I talked about a little bit earlier. We have Mikey Sherrill in New Jersey. We have Abigail Spanberger in Virginia, both running for governor in 2025. We're currently recruiting for 2026. We're going to take back the House. And so being ready to get involved in those really important races as well. And then we have the local level. I think in these moments, and I said it a little bit earlier, but local level is integral. It's where change is made when there is a Republican trifecta at the federal level. And so paying attention to those local level races as well, from attorneys general races, mayoral races, and state Supreme Court in Wisconsin, which is also a race that's coming up. So lots of opportunities to stay involved, but staying integrated in the news cycle, I think, is really important here.
Of course, I'll be here every day to help you sort through the noise and the wheat from the chaff so you know what is extremely important. You can find Emily's list, again, across all the socials at Emily's.com/list. You can also go to Emily's List website at emilyslist.org. You can also check out my social media feeds where I often will sound off. You can see my hair metaphorically lit on fire. That's at Maggie Dawn Show across all the socials and Margaret Dawn on LinkedIn, which is where I'll unleash some of my more wonky diatribes on the issues of the day. Folks, we're joined this half hour by Sarah Spain. She's the Director of Strategic Communications for Emily's List. We're just talking about, you know, what this Trump misogyny agenda means, how to push back. Specifically, Emily, excuse me, Sarah, can you tell us more about how Emily's List supports female candidates? What does that entail, especially a candidate like Susan Crawford?
Yeah, I mean, Emily's List, I think it started, and folks may have heard this before, but we stand for early money is like yeast. It makes the dough rise. And what that means is that investing in female candidates early on in their races really helps these strong candidates to win in the long run. And so that's how it started as a fundraising network. Women would come together and donate for candidates. And as we've grown, I sometimes describe us as a campaign in a box. We really do campaign services as well, where we help support campaigns deciding to run at the kitchen table with them all the way through election day and after. So it's a really cool way to support candidates from start to finish. And, you know, it can be fundraising, it can be communications. There's a real list of things that we do to support these candidates. It can be sending folks out to support. And so I think there's lots of opportunities of how we support these candidates, but something I find really cool, it's our 40th anniversary this year. We started in 1985. And, you know, looking back, women have always really been at the center of fights for progress. And as we look forward to this fight that I call the fight of my generation and the generations to come, what we see is that because of Emily's List and because of the work that has happened for the past 40 years, women in politics are now at the center of the fight. And they are not only at the center, they are leading these fights. We are seeing it on the committees. We are seeing it in these races. Women, it is strategic to run for office as a woman. It is, you know, as we talked about a little bit earlier, more effective in office. So these women are leading this fight of our generation. And I find that really, really awesome.
Yeah. No matter what moment of our nation pushing forward in terms of either civil rights, human rights, the rise of the middle class, don't be fooled. It has always been women, especially Black and Brown women, who have been at the core of those battles. Without women, nobody else gets their civil rights increased or acknowledged. It simply doesn't happen that way, whether we're talking about the gay rights movement, the civil rights movement, but of course, women's suffrage originally and women's liberation in the 60s. Every single pivotal moment in our nation's history has been driven forward by women and would never have occurred without women. And we simply do not get enough credit for that. It's notable that Senator Tammy Baldwin got bipartisan legislation for the Women's Suffrage Monument to be erected, which they are now predicting to be finished somewhere in the ballpark of 2030 to 2035. It's about time. For real, we had to click through like three centuries to finally get it done. Sarah, thanks so much for being here, folks. You've been listening to Sarah Spain, Director of Strategic Communications at Emily's List. We come back. It's going to be over the hump in Trump, our relief from all the politics on Wednesday afternoons. If you're watching me on YouTube or at Maggie Dawn Show on the Insta, Facebook, or Twitter, doing a little costume change. You won't want to miss it. All that coming up after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Around you is all I see. Is what I want to do. We ought to stay together.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Recent rains going through South America, there still seems to be a lot of uncertainty about what they're going to produce. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and joining me is John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, and he's going to explain why there's still uncertainty with that recent rain.
You know, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the dryness in Argentina, southern Brazil. You know, that still stays in the mindset of the market, but we saw some rains move through that area over the weekend. But now we're focusing on the harvest side of it. Mato Grosso is one of the number one producing state in Brazil in terms of grains. They have been staying on the wet side. Harvest is delayed. We're seeing some internet pictures out there now of, you know, beans sprouting in pods. But again, remember, those are isolated situations in a massive country. But the big thing is the beans aren't getting to the ports.
Heinberg says with all eyes waiting on that South American soybean harvest, it is just going to be a waiting game to see what the markets are going to do here. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe, and we'll take a look at the closing markets right after this.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and now it's time to take a look at what the markets are doing on the close on this Wednesday. It looks like the markets have taken a bit of a turn for the worse, with cash corn down 5 3/4, up 4.84 1/4. And new crop corn down 1/4 at 4.59 1/2. March soybeans are down 11 1/4 at 10.56, and November soybeans are down 3 at 10.46 3/4. March wheat is down 4 3/4 at 5.54, and July wheat is down 3 1/2 at 5.78 1/4. Class 3 milk isn't looking too good, as February contracts are down 46 cents at 18.97 a hundredweight, and March contracts for Class 3 milk are down 32 cents at 18.98 a hundredweight. Barrels of cheese closed down 4 at 181, and 40-pound blocks are down 1/2 at 177 1/2. And butter finished the day down 1 1/4 at 252 1/4. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Hitting a major mark as we stay above zero today with mostly cloudy skies and light snow on and off throughout the afternoon. With very light accumulations, winds are still breezy, but they're out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, pushing our highs to near 20 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 17.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street.
I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild joins as co-host. We will preview Governor Evers' State of the State address. Plus, if the 14th Amendment can be overturned by executive order, what about the first or second? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
you down. Everything is everything, y'all.
My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Usually I'm drawing about politics and economics and wonky legal stuff because I'm your friendly lady lawyer and economist and political commentator that you can find here on the Civic Media Radio Network, coming to you from 5:40 a.m. the WAUK every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. But if you're not in southeastern Wisconsin, don't worry, you can catch me on the free Civic Media app and across every single one of Civic Media's talk radio network stations. But in addition to talking about politics and economics and the law and all this wonky business, I've decided we all need a midweek break in this news segment that will be every 3:30 on Wednesday, every Wednesday at 3:30 that I have dubbed Over the Hump and Trump, because we all need a break, including me. And this morning, I had a little segment planned for today. We're going to use it next week because there's some really cool news that broke this morning that I have a deep personal connection to. Let's take a listen. If you haven't already heard, Cardi's got cut 1C that will tell you about the big news that broke this morning.
I'm trying to reach CC's event.
Yeah, please.
This is him.
CC, hi. This is Jack O'Connell with the Baseball Writers Association of America.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, and you'll be doing fine, too, in about 2 seconds. The writers have elected you to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Folks, that is the sound of former Brewers pitcher CC Sabathia getting the news from the Baseball Writers Association that he, on the very first ballot, has been voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame for CC. Cooperstown awaits. Now, you got to go back into the Brewers annals for why this is such a big deal for Brewers fans. Now, he closed out his career with the New York Yankees, and I'm glad he got to wear the pinstripes. That was a big deal for Mr. Sabathia. But for Brewers fans, including this lady here, his time with the Brewers was basically historic. Now, we've got some of the sound from one of the most notable games that CC ever pitched for the Brewers, and we're going to get to that. You're not going to want to miss that. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about Mr. Sabathia. By the way, I have a signed baseball from CC Sabathia. I have a few like little nerdy sports memorabilia things, and that one is one of my prized possessions. It's second only to the signed baseball that my dad signed after he cracked a home run in Old County Stadium before it was torn down when he was playing in men's senior baseball, which I love. But yes, I have a baseball signed by Mr. Sabathia. CC played in Major League Baseball for 19 years, which is really incredible. And for 3 months in 2008, he put the Brewers on his back and carried them into the playoffs. This was notable, of course, because the Brewers had not been to the playoffs since 1982, a 26-year drought. Now, everybody that's big fans of the Brewers these days, it seems like we make the playoffs every year. We've been spoiled. But back in the day, it wasn't so. It was a big, big dry spell. Now, I was but a little kid back in 82 and the 13-game winning streak in 83. And I remembered all that so fondly. My father gave me my love of baseball and specifically the Brewers. But that game in 2008 was absolutely amazing. He was brought to the Brewers in July of 2008 before the All-Star game in a major trade. He was brought in from Cleveland in exchange for Matt LaPorta, Zach Johnson, Rob Bryson, and Michael Brantley. So it was a huge deal. He made 17 starts for the Brewers, pitched 7 complete games. I just want everybody to marinate on that. 7 complete baseball games. That like never happens anymore. That's how dominant CC Sabathia was. But what I will always remember is one particular baseball game that occurred on September 28th, 2008. And Cardi, if we can start to get that sound queued up. This was the game that the Brewers had to win. They were playing at home. They had to win this game to get to the playoffs. And they were playing our I-94 rivals, those dreaded and dastardly Chicago Cubs. Boo. Everybody should be booing. Yes, boo. So it was a big deal. Now, at the time, I had moved back to the Midwest. And I came up. I was living in Chicago. I came up for that game because it was such a big deal. And I brought with me the guy I was dating at the time who wasn't a huge baseball fan. But I was like, honey, get your butt in the car. We're going to Milwaukee because this is the game. This is a big, huge deal. And Sabathia had been so dominant. And so we've got some sounds from that game. And it seems like kind of this oddly kismet event that, of course, we lose the beloved Bob Uecker last week. And you're going to hear a little Uke doing some game calls from this special game on September 28th, 2008. But I was there with the guy I was dating and watched what was one of the most exciting sporting events I have ever seen in my entire life. Now, let me set the stage for this first cut that we've got from that game going back to September 28th, 2008. It is the bottom of the eighth inning. It is tied. The Brewers and the dastardly Cubs are tied 1-1. There is a man on first base and Ryan Braun is up to bat. Let's take a listen to what happened next.
And there's a drive to the left field. This is hit well. And it's gone! Ryan Braun! A two-run home run! The Brewers take the lead!
The Brewers take the lead over the dastardly Cubs 3-1. And if you're watching on Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on X, Insta, or Facebook, you have just seen me put on my wild card hat from 2008, bought on September 28th, 2008. Now, the Brewers needed to hold on, of course. Got to close out this game. So what came next? CeCe taking the mound for yet another complete game at the top, on the top of the ninth inning. Now, one of the Cubs, they get on first base, and then this went down. Let's take a listen to Uke.
Everybody in this place is standing. 45,299. Sabathia sets. Here it is. Swing and a bouncer. Double play ball. JJ, second. Relay.
Folks, I lost my mind. I had tears coming down my face when that happened. I have tears welling up in my eyes right now. It was absolutely overwhelming. I was one of over 45,000 fans that watched CeCe, again, carry the Brewers on his back into the postseason. Now, what made this extra special, including the win, including the go-ahead home run from Braun, including this historic season that CeCe helped close out for the Brewers to get them into the playoffs for the first time in 26 years. But here's what was extra special and that will always set this moment and this game apart in my sports fan memory was that every single one of those over 45,000 fans didn't leave the stadium. And they didn't leave the stadium because the Marlins were playing the Mets in Miami. And the Marlins, if they beat the Mets, locked the Brewers into the postseason. And again, those dastardly Mets, whom I will always hate after this last season for the Brewers. And so we all waited there with the game, the Marlins game, on the Jumbotron. And of course, there were people that whipped out huge stuffed Marlins because we were all rooting for the Marlins against those dastardly Mets. And I think we've got enough time to take a listen to a call of everybody waiting next.
Yes! Sabathia! A complete game! And the Brewers beat the Cubs 3-1! Wow. Raise a glass, Milwaukee!
What a game! My goodness! They guarantee at least a one-game playoff. Unbelievable game here at Miller Park. Incredible atmosphere. What a finish.
Complete game number 10 for Sabathia. Number 7 as a Brewer. On 3 days rest, he finishes one. And the Brewers win a huge one. The 90th win of the year. And now everybody watches and waits while the Mets and the Marlins finish up.
So we're all waiting. And then this happens.
All right, Craig, thanks. And we're here in the clubhouse, obviously, because it's so tapered off and protected, the lockers and the TVs. All of the players are in the dining room, the players' dining room. They're all stuffed in there waiting for the final out. And of course, they're watching the Mets game, and just like we're watching the Mets game. And as soon as it ends, if it does end in a Marlins victory, you can bet pandemonium right in here. We'll be here. So we're all ready to go down in the clubhouse.
You got your Teflon shirt on?
I've been looking to get rid of the shirt for years.
Do they make waterproof shirts?
I think goggles are a must now. Champagne stings.
Uh-oh.
So.
Long fly.
Yeah. There we go. Look out, boys.
The Brewers are going to the playoffs in 2008.
That is the crowd.
How sweet it is.
45,000 fans watching a jumbo fan.
Pictures everybody inside was like, of the Brewers clubhouse. Champagne is popping and spraying.
It's like winning the lottery twice in one stinking day.
And all the fans here at Miller Park, what a scene. 1982, the last time this team went to the playoffs, and they're finally back. In 1982, there was no wild card. In 2008, there's only one, and it's the Milwaukee Brewers.
The players came back out onto the field. The fans streamed onto the field. I didn't think I felt my feet touch the cement in Miller Park for the next 20 minutes. It was insane. And I'm going to tell us all what this moment has to say about this time right now in these United States. So come back with me, because I always try to pull it all together for you. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My hat's off to you, Mr. CeCe Sabathia. I'm so happy you made the Hall of Fame on the first vote. Keep it locked, everybody. We'll be right back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While President Donald Trump's January 6th pardons and executive orders have dominated the news, state legislatures have been hard at work on both pro-voter and anti-voter legislation. Democracy legislation tracker Voting Rights Lab counts 432 election bills pending in 32 states, with 100 of those bills restricting voter access, while 205 expand it. The Wisconsin Senate and Assembly have approved Senate Joint Resolution 2, which would put a proposed voter ID constitutional amendment before voters in November. A Pew Research survey found 81% of Americans support a requirement for government-issued ID to vote, despite its impact on the poor, disabled, and elderly. A New York Senate committee moved three pro-voter bills forward, authorizing county voting centers in addition to local precincts and requiring the state to join the Electronic Registration Information Center, or ERIC, to help keep its voter rolls clean. Another bill would criminalize spreading misleading election information intended to suppress the vote. An Arizona Senate committee endorsed SB 1011, making changes to mail-in early voting rules, including when and where ballots may be returned. The Virginia House approved a constitutional amendment to automatically restore rights to people formerly incarcerated for felonies. We'll be following all these bills in the months to come. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
CeCe Sabathia is going to Cooperstown, everybody. I can tell you what, Mr. Sabathia made my 2008 a memorable 2008. I was at the September 28th, 2008 game where the Brewers clinched the wild card. Mr. Sabathia pitched a complete game, an absolute clinic. It was so exciting. And of course, we're doing this new segment called Over the Hump and Trump on Wednesdays at 3:30 because I am trying to share with all of you my New Year's intentions to laugh more, create more, connect more, play more, rest more, and move more. And so this falls into the play category, of course. I love sports. I'm a huge baseball nut. So for that reason alone, it was worthy of mention today, of course, in the news as well. But there's another probably much more fundamental reason that I wanted to share this moment in my memory and this collective exuberance and joy that Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin had thanks to Mr. Sabathia back in 2008. And it's because of the connection. A connection that we all shared on that day through that shared joy and exuberance, not just those that were lucky enough to be at then Miller Park, which I was, but with all of Milwaukee, all of the state of Wisconsin, and Brewers fans everywhere, our connection through something that has nothing to do with politics. And I wanted to share this with you as well, because what I learned that day is sharing the things that you love, like a little kid loves snow days, with other people increases not just your joy, but their joy and everyone's joy around you. So I had dragged this guy I was dating to Miller Park, not a baseball fan. Guess what he was? Our relationship might have ended many moons ago, but that guy's still a huge Brewers fan. And that day I gave him the gift of my love for baseball. So I have a moment again that I wanted to share with all of you. I hope that we get to share a lot of these moments where I can share my love of baseball and sports generally with each and every one of you, and where you can share some of the things that you love with me and with everybody else that's listening, with Cardi and everybody here at Civic Media. Because it's those things that we have to come back to when our political leaders seek to divide us by race, by gender. We can find these moments, these things that actually bring about much, much deeper togetherness. Because it's not just about baseball. It wasn't just about that game. It was about that moment. And we need more of those moments. So I have a request, a challenge for everybody out there listening. I get a lot of enjoyment out of a lot of things. Doing this job is one of them, and I share it with each of you every day. And in this job that I love, I get to talk about things that I love, like baseball, like that game from September 28th, 2008, ending a 26-year playoff drought for my beloved Milwaukee Brewers. My challenge to each of you, between today's Over the Hump and Trump segment and next week's Over the Hump and Trump segment, which you will be able to find next week at 3:30 right here across the Civic Media Radio Network, is I want you to conjure up, to remember something that you love so much, it creates joy for you. Like the joy a kid has when they got a snow day. And good luck, Northeastern Wisconsin and Northwestern Wisconsin. You got a lot of snow. You may have a joyful kid's snow day tomorrow. I want you to find that thing. Remember that thing. Re-engage with that thing. And I want you to share it with somebody. Sit down with them. Tell them why you love it. Share some memory of joyful moments past. Ask them what they know about this thing you love. And just share your childlike joy and exuberance and love of something that has nothing to do with politics with someone in your life. And if you want an A+ on this little assignment, share it with someone in your life that you know you deeply, deeply have political disagreement with. And I hope that this gives you an opportunity to have that moment of connection, to have that experience of shared joy about something that has nothing to do with politics with someone that you may disagree with all the gosh darn time. Because this is part of the pathway forward. So, let's review our assignment, everybody. Between now, nearly 4 o'clock on January 22nd, and next week, January 29th, I'm going to ask you all to share with me the joy that you shared with someone else. And by doing so, I hope that we can multiply connection with one another on the things that bring us all joy as human beings. We're going to try to inject some of that into this show on a more regular basis, because Lord knows we all got to get over the hump and Mr. Trump. And I'm going to do it here every Wednesday with you. Thank you so much for being with me every day. Thanks to Cardi for getting all that fabulous Brewers sound. I was tearing up, everybody. Keep it locked right here on Civic Media, because Dom Salvia is next up with the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. You can find me here from 2 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together for the Milwaukee Brewers.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio joins us to talk about President Biden's pardon of Leonard Peltier. Also, this shouldn't be a thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A student took out a gun in a high school cafeteria today, shot to death a female classmate, wounded another male student, and then killed himself in Nashville at Antioch High School, says Police Chief John Drake.
The investigation is still very much ongoing as to a motive. We're looking into that.
Police say the shooter was 17. The Pentagon is expected to deploy as many as 1,500 more troops to the southern border, adding to about the same number already there. The Trump administration has canceled travel for refugees already cleared to resettle in the U.S. House Democrats criticizing President Trump's decision to put all federal employees working on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs on administrative leave for eventual layoffs. California Congressman Pete Aguilar.
None of these affect lowering the prices of groceries that Donald Trump said he would do on day one.
Wall Street had an up day. This is ABC News.
I'm James.